go ahead and call the Grants Committee to order. Yeah, so first we'll do a roll call, and we have Ms. Kuhn here, Ms. Glasper. Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Foster.
Here.
Mr. Valentine.
Here.
Mr. Malone.
Here.
Ms. Dalton.
Here.
I believe we're missing Ms. Harris. She's on vacation, I believe. Mr. Michael's here. I just want to welcome Mr. Valentine to the committee.
So thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Happy to have you on the board and on the committee.
It's a pleasure.
Great. So we actually have the 2 minutes for approval. One is the Special Grants Committee meeting regarding the CDBG funding. That was on June 4th, and then the regular meeting, which is on June 10th. Is there anybody that sees any needed additions, subtractions, or modifications? Hearing none, then we will accept the minutes as on file. So next up is the public comment. And I know we have some agenda items that individuals are here for, and we'll just discuss those as they come up. But anybody here for public comment specifically?
Go first.
Awesome.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll pass several of these around. Just a handout here from Leadership Council Southwestern Illinois. Just kind of wanted to update you on some of the projects that we've been working on. And I know STL Alliance is here as well to talk about them. And there's a lot of collaboration, actually, between the two of us. So very briefly, just want to let you know we did have the Site Selection Magazine in town about a month and a half ago. It was just a great opportunity to hear directly from somebody outside of the area about what Illinois is doing, how Illinois looks in comparison to other states. It might shock you, but we didn't rank very high. So we've got a lot of work cut out for us and certainly doing a lot of things locally in order to change that perception and image of Illinois to site selectors. And these are, the magazine itself is used by a lot of the site selection consultants throughout the country. They look to that to provide them some guidance as far as where the next hot area is. And what we're looking to do, again, is to change that perception of southwestern Illinois. Leadership Council has also been involved, obviously, a lot in economic development. One of the most recent trips has been to Washington, D.C. with the chairman and STL Alliance in order to present to a large group of Japanese and highlighting the southwestern Illinois area. I will tell you from our perspective, so I'm at America's Central Port, I've been there about 20 years. From our perspective, Illinois is getting obviously a bad rap in terms of its financial situation and that sort of thing, but who hasn't heard about it really is the international companies. We're still seeing a lot of people looking to Illinois, looking to the area to invest in from international perspective. So we're hoping to highlight on that and really key it in. And I'm certainly going to let STL Alliance talk more about that Kaidanran USA trip there to Washington, D.C. We continue on a lot of external marketing through Leadership Council Southwestern Illinois, again, pushing it out there, trying to let folks know that Illinois is a great place to invest in, southwestern Illinois right here. Just a lot of great things going on there. The last two items, expedited licensure for service members and spouses. This has been a big push of the Leadership Council for Scott Air Force Base employees, those coming to the region. So what you might have heard about this, but really we were in a tough position. We get a lot of service members that move into the area for a short period of time. And with a teacher shortage now that's out there and everything else, we really needed a way to take advantage of a lot of great opportunities and education and experience that those service members and their spouses are bringing to the area. This expedited licensure for service members' spouses helps in so many areas, especially on the teaching side, in order to allow that teaching certificate. Finally, we are also looking at multimodal priorities through Leadership Council in order to set up and really tee up a lot of new investment in the region, prioritizing that investment, working with our public policy committee to work with the legislators in order to get that those federal funds, state funds, to come down to southwestern Illinois and make that investment. And happy to take any questions if anybody might have.
Are you hearing any negative reasons why people refuse to come to southwestern Illinois?
Not
we need to address, or
yeah, not any in particular, Eric. It really comes down to just Illinois's you know, it's that bad rap out there, right? The financial, fiscal responsibility that we can't seem to get past. A lot of people still look to Illinois as a great state, great place to do business. We continue to lose population, though, throughout the state as a whole, to other areas. We are really, through Leadership Council, really target marketing Kansas City, Indianapolis, Memphis, Louisville, those communities that are very much like us, those college communities, and trying to bring those folks back to the area.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. Any other questions at all?
No. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Next, please.
Awesome. Hello, everybody. I'm Kelly Orban. I'm with the St. Louis Regional Chamber, also Alliance STL. The reason I'm here today is thank you for your support and to give you a quick update on what we've been doing. As Mr. Wilmsmeyer alluded to, the trip to Washington, D.C. was to talk to a group of Japanese businesses representatives, and they're the largest trade association, I believe, in the entire country. And so it was telling about our region. So as the regional chamber, we're 15 counties, 8 in Illinois and 7 in Missouri. So our whole mission is to get the word out about the St. Louis metro area, not just St. Louis City or St. Louis County. Additionally, the Alliance STL is kind of kicking off a branding called STL Made. I don't know about you guys, but we're not in the area, and people ask me where I'm from. I don't say Edwardsville, Alton, whatever. I just say I'm from St. Louis. So that's something that you'll be seeing a lot about lately, probably in the next couple of months, hashtag STL Made. And then also I wanted to update you a little bit about the geospatial conference that was held in San Antonio last month. St. Louis had a huge presence. We had over 40 representatives in San Antonio. It was the center of the geospatial universe, as it is. And we had a huge splash because with the NGA coming to St. Louis, I know there was, you know, fighting back and forth between Illinois and Missouri, but there's a lot of people who work in that industry that live on this side of the river, that reside in Madison County and commute over there. So we had a huge showing, and we really got the word out about St. Louis and all it has to offer. I invited my colleague Adam Kasda to come with me today to speak just briefly about public policy. If you don't mind, I'm going to turn it over to him.
Yeah, so I just have a one-pager for you all to pass around. As part of the chamber, my name is Adam Kasda. I work in the chamber's public policy space. And what we advocate for is economic development, workforce development, and transportation and infrastructure. That everything that we do flows from those three things. In Illinois, like Kelly said, we represent 8 counties over here. We had about a half dozen priorities, 2 of those which got done. Leadership Council, we teamed up with them for the military occupational licensing bill that he explained earlier. Basically, that will now give any military members and their spouses, families, now 3 years instead of 6 months to get a new license for whatever they practice in. So they'll be able to retain those jobs better over here in Illinois. And also the capital bill that we were excited that the legislature got, the General Assembly got done. And on the back there, the Leadership Council helped us with that. That is all of the plans in that bill for the Metro East. So not just Madison County, but the entire Metro East. And as far as next year, we have not come up with, or finalized, I should say, our priorities for Illinois, but we would welcome y'all's input, and I'm happy to take any questions.
I assume the chairman has input, probably, on the priorities for...
So do you lobby for certain legislation in the state?
Yep, yeah. Yes.
One of the things I was kind of wondering about was, you know, like in Madison County, we have a lot of, like, let's say if you have a convenience store or a gas station, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking of the one like in Granite City. It's right across the river from St. Louis. And so I would think with the doubling of the gas tax, and I know even, you know, I live in Bethalto, and so I find myself, I'm in Alton, I would drive across the bridge and, to save $3.
Right.
And so I would think that, is it possible to maybe carve out some areas that would really have a significant, you know, economic impact, negative economic impact, like Madison County, their collar, you know, to the in proximity to the Missouri border. You know, is there
absolutely? I think there has been talk with some of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
We haven't decided on anything. I haven't really heard that much, just kind of the radio talk, like, hey, we should do something about this because we're up in Missouri now. But like Kelly said, we do represent the entire region, but we want what's best for the entire region. So we would love to have your input.
Yeah, I mean, so I think we'd still be less competitive. We were always less competitive.
Right.
But now it's really, I mean, 40 cents a gallon is a real incentive to, you know, so if you're within 30 miles of the border and have a convenience store or other industries too, I'm sure, but, you know, I would think it's really going to hurt some of those folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be nice to see something that allowed them some relief, you know, and I was thinking maybe, I was thinking about this over the weekend, but if there was a way to sort of carve them out.
Absolutely. I think we probably, if we were going to do something, we'd work with the Leadership Council as well as the Illinois Chamber and kind of come to an agreement. I think that's what we've done in the past. On most things, we usually try to stay on the same page and go from there.
Yeah. We could probably take that under advisement.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the first I'm hearing of it, other than kind of just.
I would think that some of those folks are going to feel it, you know, very soon.
Right.
And we were just talking, I don't smoke, but I mean, the cigarette thing, too. So if you're a smoker, you're definitely going to be driving to Missouri, I would think.
And absolutely.
Buy those. And anyway, okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none. We move on to new business. First item we have on our agenda is the approval of bills and purchase request report. Has everybody had a chance, I assume, to review those in the packet that was sent out? Is there any questions?
I have one about the air conditioners. Where are they being placed, and what is the purpose of buying a whole bunch of them? Apparently, they're small units. Is that for the weatherization programs or homes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's for homes that don't have air conditioning, and so this gives them at least one cool room, so they have some relief.
Okay.
So they can only have one per household. I think they can only get a new one like every 3 years or something. They have to have no air conditioning.
Okay.
Are those acquired through the township offices? They were not.
Yeah, these were just a separate program that we did this year.
Okay.
We worked with Ameren in the past, and they supplied some, but this year Ameren just worked with Senior Services Plus and to distribute their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great. Good question. Any other questions about the bills purchase report? Hearing none, I entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Glassford, second by Mrs. Dalton. Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Ms. Glassford?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Valentine?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Yes.
Thank you. Next up is a resolution authorizing the solar park grants and fact sheet. I believe is that James, right?
Yeah,
James, want to fill us in?
We had a cool opportunity to repurpose some funds from the Department of Energy, which we did into the solar park grant. We received 11 applications. We went through a scoring committee in our own office, and we were actually able to fund all 11, so that's very important. We had anything from Granite City applying to use solar power to charge their carts, golf carts, which is great. It's going to be a tremendous cost savings for them, to the Recplex in New Douglas. It's going to be solar power now. And I mean, the applications are great. A lot of people use this to their advantage.
Question?
I called James about this morning, referring to New Douglas, and Dwayne Schallenberg called me right before the meeting. Is Dwayne the township supervisor?
Yes.
But this is, I just want to say this is really, really good for New Douglas. They did grade leveling there, and that school is closed up. And it's kind of a depressed area. And they use this, I think their budget is like $8,500, and this will cut like $6,500. Is this approximately?
Yeah, actually.
Out of their electric bill?
Yep.
And the kids use this. You know, they take them in. They do so many good things with them. So it's really a great thing for New Douglas. So I'm really supportive of
it. How many years has this been available, James?
Trudier was the opportunity. This is the first time it's ever happened.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And we're hoping to get some funds left over, and with some more loan repayments, we're hoping to put out a second round in the near future.
It was funds from the Department of Energy that couldn't get used, and so they gave us the opportunity to come and submit ideas to them and awesome. Like this idea.
Well, that's really a good job of you guys doing this, because New Douglas needed this. It's really beneficial.
They were really excited about it.
Yeah,
more
very,
than
very excited.
Any other questions? Awesome. Good job. Thank you. How about a motion to approve the authorize the solar park grant from that sheet?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dalton, second.
Second.
Mr. Valentine. Any other discussion? Hearing none, we'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Valentine?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
And Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Resolution passes unanimously. Thank you. Next up is the resolution authorizing the home program funds to the senior real estate services, I believe, in the Edwardsville area. Is that Sam?
Yep.
Awesome.
So I gave you guys a packet before the meeting that shows the site location and the building specs. This year, Madison County had two different developments that won with low-income housing tax credits. Last year, we had four. Unlike last year, where we had three of them apply, and we were only able to fund two, this year only one applied, and we actually have Mr. Dan Barnard, who is the president and CEO of Phoenix Real Estate Services, and he's the developer. This project will be over on Hillsboro on the old Anna Henry site, where it was formerly a nursing home. Now it's a vacant lot. Edwardsville is very supportive of it. It's going to be 48 living units, two different buildings, three stories, and a community room, or community room that they'll be able to share. Seniors will be able to go there, and it's for low-income housing, and you have to be 55 or older. And we think it'll be a really great project. They're asking for $450,000 at 1% interest, and they're actually going to pay, which is pretty rare, amortized over it. So we'll get a payment every year instead of being based on cash flow.
Great. I guess, Sam, so there was three projects last year, remember that? Well, why could we only do two? Is it because of the amount of money?
The amount of money we had from people being repaid, and then we got from the federal government. This last year was the first year that they upped their home allotment again. We used to get like $500,000. Last year it went up to about $800,000, and this year I think we went up to almost $1 million. Now we're down to about $900,000. And then this year we took about $450,000 and put it in rental development, which is about exactly what they were asking for. So the other project, Marine, did not ask for any money. But each project had a different way they do. Some want home money, some don't, just based on the structuring of their financing on the deal.
Right, right. And would you like to speak at all, sir?
Yeah, I'm glad to be. We're really excited to be here. This is a difficult project to pull together. We applied a year and a half ago. We got turned down by Ida. This time around, we partnered with the Madison County Housing Authority, and we got approved, and we're raring to go. We're excited to go. This piece of the financing is critical to its success. We've built about six or seven of these kind of developments on the Missouri side, and we have waiting lists that are a mile long, and they really do a lot of good, and they benefit the people that live here, live in our development. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
You said you partnered with Madison County Housing Authority. Are they going to be the administrators of the complex?
Yes, for the time being. They have to demonstrate that they can do a good job and, comply with all the requirements that our investors have and make sure that the people who are signed up that live in there are qualified for a variety of attributes, but right now we're partnering with them and we're hopeful that they'll do an excellent job.
It's supposed to be low income. Will it be Section 8 also?
There are project-based vouchers involved in this.
13 project-based vouchers were awarded by the Housing Authority.
I will say we also, even though we only received one application, we still put it through our competitive scoring criteria, and it scored very well.
And Edwardsville's totally good. Right?
Yeah, we have a letter of support from Mayor Patton, Congressman Davis, and State Senator Crowe.
Yeah, can't get much more support than that, I guess.
I spoke to the city last week, I think, when I emailed you. They said that they have gone above and beyond and reached out to the citizens, having public hearings, tailoring their project to the needs of Edwardsville, so they're very pleased.
Four. Any other questions? Hearing none, then I would ask for a motion to authorize the home program funds to Phoenix Real Estate Services for the development of the Edwardsville Senior Living.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Malone and seconded by Mr. Foster. Last chance for discussion? Nope. And then we'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Mr. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Valentine?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
And Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Thank you, and thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Next up is the second amendment of the agenda was the added purchase request, which is, I believe, if I understand it right, is we're going to replace three 2009 F-150s for one new Traverse.
Yes.
If that's correct.
Yes, so these are state-funded vehicles, so we had to get permission from the state. Did that, went through the procurement process for the county. We have the three bids in your packet. So after the trade-in, we will pay $3,289.81 for this vehicle. So it's under the $5,000 threshold, but the auditor thought we should bring it through grants and finance anyway.
Smart. I'm glad they did that. Just I think it's the most transparent, because I'm sure if you take the three vehicles out, it's above, obviously above the $5,000 threshold.
Right,
so
yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Okay, the three vehicles that you're replacing, mm-hmm. What are you doing with them?
Well, so if you remember, we had a surplus of vehicles, and mm-hmm. So we've been working, well, really since before I came here, and was working on getting rid of some of the extra ones. We sold some at auctions. Mm-hmm. These were specifically state-owned vehicles that mm-hmm. they said you can either give them back to us and we'll give them to another agency, or you can trade them in. And so we made the decision to trade them in. And so we got through this process. It's taken longer than we expected.
So, yeah, surplus vehicles, don't need them, get rid of them,
yeah.
Getting their value. Okay. Any questions?
And the state did give us an allotment of up to $10,000 to cover the cost of the vehicle. So
even above the trade-in value?
We ended up, we didn't know how much it would cost after the trade-ins, but we came to $3,200 basically, but they allowed us up to $10,000.
I have a quick question. So the Traverse made more sense than the pickup truck?
In this case it did. We have...
He's sitting there shaking his head.
Yeah, we have a lot of trips where we take staff to Springfield for mandatory training, things like that. And so with the truck, you know, you have to take multiple vehicles. And so we have mostly pickup trucks, but we thought this would be beneficial.
I'm trying to make you ride the bed of the truck, right?
Yeah. Not
you. Okay. Makes sense. Makes sense. All right, hearing no other questions, I would entertain a motion to approve the request for the 2019 Traverse in exchange for the three 2009 F-150. Moved by Mr. Foster.
Second
by Ms. Glasper. Last minute discussion. Roll call vote. Ms. Kuhn.
Yes.
Ms. Glasper.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Aye.
Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Valentine.
Yes.
Mr. Malone.
Aye.
And Ms. Dalton.
Yes.
Perfect. Passes unanimously, and this one only needs my signature, so don't need to worry about that one. Awesome. So next up on the agenda is, that's actually all for new business that needs to be voted on. Next is the discussion that I kind of worded this, but to take place just on general enterprise zones, potential expansions of enterprise zones, and then what would be, if we had one, the county boards or the administration's policy towards future enterprise zone expansions, excuse me. And just to give everybody a little update, I think the idea is here that it's going to be some municipalities that want to expand enterprise zones. I think Bethalto's being one of them. The mayor's here, thankfully, come and he can answer questions, provide any updates when the time comes. But when I kind of read about this, I had a lot of questions myself, and I contacted a board member, McRae, and Dutton, who represent, I believe, all of Bethalto, right? You two cover all of it. And that was kind of new to them. They weren't really aware of it, so I couldn't really get the information I wanted. So I said, let's hold this off until August so that we could answer more questions and bring everybody in the discussion. I also called the chairman and asked him to participate, so I appreciate you being here.
Well, I was in the same situation as Tom Craig, Chrissy Dunn. I didn't know a thing about it.
Yeah, so anyway, I just think these things, if we're going to get a bunch of them coming, I think we kind of need to have a more comprehensive guideline and set of when are we going to expand and when aren't we going to expand, just because otherwise it feels like it's just a formality by the time it gets to us. And I think these are really big deals, just like TIF districts and business districts, and I think a lot of those are all confusing to us. We're not experts in all these. So I asked, I think, either James or Trudy or someone to kind of give us just what is the background on enterprise zones and why do they get expanded, what is the pros and cons. So with that, if you wouldn't mind maybe starting the discussion.
Yeah, that's fine. Maybe just a little history of the enterprise zone. I believe it was a state program that came out in the 1980s. The state of Illinois decided that they needed an incentive tool to help businesses. It's been very successful over the years. Back in the 80s, I believe it was around the year 1986, we have some documents from 1984. John Herzog worked with the county and municipalities to create the Riverbend Enterprise Zone and the Southwestern Enterprise Zone. Southwest is Granite City, Madison, Venice, and America Central Port. Riverbend is Alton, Hartford, South Roxana, Roxana, Bethalto, Wood River, and East Alton. And on both of those, Madison County is also a management member. When these enterprise zones are formed, management committees are created. So every municipality that is represented, every city, has a position on the management committee, including Madison County. The management committee also designates the zone administrator, which has always been Madison County Community Development. That is written into the ordinances and has been for the past 40 years. We've done two enterprise zones since then. Gateway Commerce Center, which has been incredibly successful, if you know anything about it, it's on Pontoon Beach and Granite City. And the Discovery Zone, Discovery Zone. Discovery Zone is Troy, Highland, St. Jacob, Collinsville, Glen Carbon, Maryville, and Madison County. That's our newest one. That was created in 2016. We're still working through the learning stages of that. They will have a request coming next month. And the Riverbend one request actually came in March, and all management committee members were notified in an email on March 19th, all of them, including Madison County, and decisions get made whether or not we show up to such meetings, but the information was out there. And then after that management committee meets and decides to move the process forward, it goes to an actual formal public hearing that gets court recorded. So there's a public hearing with a legal posting. So again, a second chance to see information and hear information. After the public hearing, it then goes back to the cities, back to Madison County to pass the agreed upon amended ordinance. And that's where we are now, well, where I thought we were gonna be today. Seven municipalities all passed ordinances in favor of this.
So they've already placed votes.
Yeah, it's already.
Like it's already in their council, right, so it gets us. Are we always last to do so?
I made a decision to make us last.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
It's a great question. I don't think there would be a need for Madison County to pass an ordinance if one of the municipalities did not agree with it. So we've always taken that stance at Madison County. Like if Alton didn't agree with something, we're not going to push to expand something that all the group doesn't agree on. And I think that makes the most sense. Everybody did agree on this. It's great for the Bethalto Airport. It's great for the village of Bethalto. It got good reviews at the meetings. Nobody really questioned anything. And we do have members here from Bethalto. And we have the mayor of Hartford here, Jim Hickerson. And we have a representative from Wood River here, Tracy Kennedy. And the mayor of Bethalto here, Alan Winslow. After all the ordinances get passed and all the certified copies are made and done, we work through submitting a formal application to DCO where they get the final say of approval. So it's not even a formality that Madison County decides what happens. We're just a piece of the process moving forward. The state gets the final call on what is approved.
DCO and
Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity.
So four enterprise zones in Madison County.
Correct. And
right.
Many municipalities are touched by that. A large chunk of municipalities.
So, and they can be expanded, right?
Correct.
So I guess like an obvious question would be, this has already been expanded once, I believe?
Riverbend's been expanded a number of times. I believe this is addition 13 or 14. Gateway's been expanded 15 times. Discovery Zone has not yet been expanded, but it is brand new. And Southwest has also been expanded. A little history on the enterprise zones as well. They can only last, originally they only lasted for 15 years, and then you could apply for an additional 15. For the original Southwest and Riverbend, they got the full 30 years. Then in the 2014-15 timeframe, Madison County re-upped, essentially sent in a new application, because the state of Illinois won't let you renew an enterprise zone. You have to make a new enterprise zone. So they overlapped and overlaid pretty much all the same areas. And at that same time, let's get Gateway extended as well. So Gateway was also extended at that same time. They all have a drop dead date coming up of around 2031. Besides Gateway, Gateway expires in 2027.
And is it a 6 mile?
Three of the zones can be expanded up to 15 square miles. One of the zones can be expanded up to 12 square miles. And in there, there's a number of incentives that are offered. Three of our enterprise zones offer property tax abatement. Gateway offers property tax abatement for 10 years. The first 7 years are at 100%. Then it scales down to 70, 40, 10. Southwest and Riverbend offer abatement at 100% for 4 years. And the Discovery Zone currently does not offer property tax abatement.
What happens through years 5 through 9 then on the Riverbend and the other one?
It's just a 4 year abatement. So
okay.
Once it's done, it's done.
Gotcha.
We've seen success lately. Specifically, the big win down in Gateway was for the Granite City School District. I believe last year they received in the amount of $2.3 million that in the form of property taxes from Gateway.
Things that came out of the their exemption expired?
The exemptions expired, and gotcha. What was farm field with no buildings, where they were making 10 cents a year, they're now making millions of dollars,
right.
Which is great for public school districts.
James, isn't there also rebates on materials, on sales taxes used for construction?
Yeah, that's where I typically see a lot of work is
because that's
anytime there's any sort of construction in the zone.
Yeah, because we expanded the Riverbend up the belt line to save the Quality Pontiac dealership because he was talking about moving out into the Godfrey area, but he did $1 million in improvements because we expanded the enterprise zone to incorporate them.
Correct. It's a sales tax exemption on building materials that are permanently affixed to the building and site.
Yeah, that's the one I'm familiar with.
I have a question about that, because don't most businesses then pay sales tax anyway? I mean, do you think, I thought that you...
I think they do pay
that. They pay sales tax?
You pay sales tax on every item you buy.
Unless it's a non-profit.
Are you located in Kansas City? Have you used the enterprise?
Not yet.
So if you buy lumber, you pay
a sales tax on it.
I guess I'm wrong.
So it's open. If you're in the zone or your project is in the zone, you can use that. There's also an investment tax credit that you get. It can run out to 0.5% over 5 years. And if you meet some other numbers, you can, 200 employees or an investment of $40 million, you can get a utility tax exemption and a machinery and equipment tax exemption that's above and beyond. This is my own personal bias that I'll offer, but I don't necessarily see cons in the enterprise zone.
I'm not a big fan of TIFs, and I think that's what your concern is, because I don't like the way TIFs are used sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, when you tear down a Walmart because it's blighted to build a super Walmart.
Right.
Sorry, Wood River.
I know you're in the room.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but I kind of see these things as a little bit different than TIFs.
I would think they are very different than TIFs.
Especially since the state limits the number
have. The enterprise zone, that's another competitive application process. The state of Illinois itself has 102 We have four of those. We're lucky enough to have four of those in Madison County. With that said, you have to meet certain criteria. It was set up to remove slum and blight. That was the intent of the Enterprise Zone Act.
That was the intent of TIFs, too, but it doesn't always work.
James.
I don't have to worry about TIFs, so.
So you're saying, like, and James is very knowledgeable of this, but the when it comes to the finals, this is just a process going through the county, and the state has a final say.
That is absolutely correct.
Fail somebody, I mean, vote, be voted down here and then go to the state and they say,
no.
Oh, they override it with the counties?
All management committee members here.
Has to be. Gotcha.
So then, I guess, question was, if there's no cons, why wouldn't we just, why would we ever even need to vote on it?
May I mention a con?
If I just want, you know, providing a devil's advocate, you know, if there's no cons, let's just expand it all to 6 miles.
I think we try to take care of each other. I think we don't try to do expansions where, let's say, Bethalto was taking a business from Woodard. I think that would be a major con where we would not approve any sort of expansion. So that would be why we vote on projects.
I think one situation is where you're creating an unlevel playing field. Let's say you have a business that's operating and they've received no government subsidy, no government help, no tax breaks, and they've been in business for many years, and then you have a new company come to town and they've got brand new fresh equipment, new signs, new everything, new concept, new layout, and then they get a huge government subsidy to go in business in a nearby area, and they can put that existing business out of business. And so what you're doing is, I mean, I think every now, if you're creating something like the Gateway Commerce Center, which is something that did not exist before a major effort was made, and that's been a great benefit to the area, but I think it depends what you're creating. If you're providing for another convenience store, which could likely put another convenience store out of business, I think, is that worth the effort? Or what, have you done something that's harmed an existing business and an existing taxpayer? I think that's one thing to look out for.
I agree, and I believe a lot of that is fleshed out in the committee meetings. Those discussions take place. Nobody is interested in doing something necessarily like that. And in the end, the state's going to look at dollars and cents of investment in full-time jobs. So something like this could go up to the state and then get looked at and said, well, you're creating 5 full-time jobs and there's a gas station across the street. We're not doing this. So I do think there is an extra layer of protection there.
Chris, you got a question?
The management committee, who did you say? It's 7 municipalities.
Yes.
Are those mayors that are representing?
The mayors can send a proxy, but typically I've seen the mayor show
it's
up.
It's usually the mayor.
Yes. So, like you said, Riverbend has 7. Gateway has 4. You know, each one has a different number.
Then they also take that back to their city council.
Right.
Yeah, so they can take it back to the city council. The city council can say, absolutely not, we're not doing this. There's multiple layers of, just ways to not let something like this go forward.
The city council will vote before the county, though, right?
Yeah, and that's the other reason why it's not necessarily in my best interest to pursue something that's not going to get passed by the municipalities.
So I suppose that anything, using the convenience store as an example, let's just say that there are similar businesses within the same, you know, 1 or 2 miles or whatever, like a convenience store, and one gets to go into an enterprise zone. I suppose that would still be subject to local zoning, right, Mayor Winslow? Would it not? I mean, so you would probably not encourage a building permit, would you, for another competing business if there were 2 or 3 others?
Because
you know the one I'm alluding to.
Yeah, we couldn't restrict and just tell somebody, you can't open this business because there's one down the street.
Right. Yeah.
But all of the zoning rules that are in place would have to be adhered with.
Yeah.
I think that gets to why we need to have it. Yeah, go ahead.
I might be confused using your example. If there's an existing convenience store and a new one's coming in, doesn't the other convenience store have the same opportunity Absolutely. For whatever breaks are available, is a good one to upgrade their system?
As long as that's as part of the expansion.
As long as it's part of the enterprise.
Yeah, but what if they're not?
They have to be in the enterprise zone.
See, I mean, I think this public knowledge is a car wash.
Yeah, so
there's two car washes right down the street that aren't in the enterprise zone. And then there's another one in Cottage Hills, which is a high-end. I mean, that's the...
An enterprise zone.
The new one's going to be an enterprise zone. And he won't pay any taxes for 4 years. And he's going to create, I would say, minimum wage jobs, a handful.
Sure.
And going to compete with two or three other, or maybe even four other, existing businesses. And I'm not sure that benefits the community or the competitors in this instance, you know. But I guess my question is, I guess we don't have any control of that. We just approve the enterprise zone, and then it's up to the local. But I would just hate to see, that is a case, in my opinion, of a competitive business that is going to have a very significant competitive advantage. And with three other things, and so who really benefits, you know, in that case? Now, that doesn't dilute the advantage, I mean, other entities that may want to take advantage of an enterprise zone. But I guess it's the baby in the bathwater kind of thing.
I'd say this is more than just a car wash. I would back it as an expansion with land. I think one of the best kept secrets of Madison County is West Star Aviation. And if that enterprise zone was not there, they would not be at that airport.
That's West Star, and we're talking about a car wash, though. We're the initial expansion was for a car wash.
It was land and the car wash.
Okay.
Can I jump in?
Yeah.
I'm Alan Winslow, Mayor of Bethola, and of course we had asked for this expansion. I had three projects that I was working on when I got a call from the airport director about the car wash project. And I think what we're hearing from the chairman and from Mr. McCray both are valid concerns. My request, though, is not just for the car wash that the airport has been working on. I've got one of our long-standing, probably a 30, 40-year business in town, recently purchased some property, annexed it in, and their goal is to expand the business there or possibly even a new enterprise. So that's one issue that we're dealing with. I've got another property owner that, and I'll very upfront, it's a very, very preliminary discussion, but he's negotiating with a hotel chain to bring a high-end hotel into town, which is that's number one on my wish list. So that's a biggie. And then I've got one other one that is, I'm highly optimistic about. I'm under a non-disclosure agreement with this one, but I did contact the principal investor on it. If any of you would like a small meeting interview with him, he's certainly agreeable to do so, as long as he can get some additional non-disclosures. Okay, and so that one in itself, it could have a significant impact. But what excites me about that one is I think very likely will be a lot of companion businesses that will follow right along with this. It just lends itself to bringing some other things in. So our issue is, so our issue is that we've got this corridor coming up Route 111, and it basically is just a small strip of the enterprise zone, and I believe it was put that way in order to open up a piece of the airport property for West Star Aviation, which has now become one of our largest employers. So a huge, huge success story of the enterprise zone. What you'll see, though, on the legend on that second page, that's the member communities for the enterprise zone. And if you look at those numbers, you'll see that Bethola by far has the smallest amount of territory. The actual enterprise zone map for Bethola is on that front page, but that graph is really telling. And Kurt had mentioned something about leveling the playing field, and honestly, that's where we're at. If you look at all of the other communities, in our immediate area that have big chunks of enterprise zone, we've just got a very small little bit. And so part of our presentation with the other mayors who were members of the membership committee was exactly that. And, every single one of them was agreeable that, yeah, we should go ahead and vote to approve this expansion. And it was largely due to that inequity there as far as, you know, how much Bethalto has compared to everyone else. So we're asking for this for a couple of reasons. Number one, of course, from the village aspect is to be able to be competitive in bringing some new businesses in. But there's another facet of this, and that is St. Louis Regional Airport. So what you'll see here for the expansion plans, the lion's share of this is actually airport property. Airport is a taxing district, so the more business that they can generate, aside from their aeronautical business, that should significantly lower the amount of property taxes that they're taking from the taxpayers right now. So, you know, we're looking at a situation here that the positive effects would be sales tax, you know, the labor, housing, everything that comes along with this, and the fact that we've got a taxing body here that in theory, could lower the tax rate if they're able to bring some businesses in and utilize, I mean, there's 2,200 acres there. I think roughly a third of it is actually developable. So it really could be a sizable impact to the entire northern end of Madison County. And so those are the reasons why we're asking for the expansion. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I will follow up and say that Trudy and I also had a meeting with a business partner currently in Bethalto that does $7 million in sales each year, has another business that he wants to move to Bethalto. And he has discussed this with these plans.
So I think the biggest for me would be kind of what the chairman and Tom alluded to. Just it's hard if there already is two or three other businesses like right down the road that we're going to hand. I mean, it's essentially an incentive that would give, if it's $1 million car wash, that's $80,000 in property tax abatement roughly, plus not counting the sales tax discounts and everything else. So six figures in discounts. So how do you explain it to the person that's been living, dying, paying taxes for decades that's down the road that you're not going to get the $100,000, but somebody else is? I mean,
asked to be in the enterprise zone? Well, that ability is there. It's always there. That's how these conversations get started.
So I guess it's just the one that's going to squeaky wheel gets the grease or what?
Well, my follow-up question would be that if we pass this enterprise zone and then they do turn, asked to be included in that,
we start the process over and we do it again. The state can decide whether they want to approve it.
And then would they be eligible for the same taxes incentive even though they're staying with business?
They would have to do whatever the property tax abatement works. If they would make a substantial improvement that would increase the EAV of their building, they would get property tax abatement.
Yeah. So, like the quality Pontiac and home.
So I think those all make sense. The question is, like, when do we say no? I guess if a McDonald's wants to expand in East Dalton in the enterprise zone, next month,
Jimmy,
I guess
John's,
we say yes.
Jimmy John's is using their expansion benefits in the Discovery Zone in Highland.
So a company worth, you know, a franchise that's worth hundreds of billions, if not, well, probably well over $100 billion. So we're giving them money to compete against the local sub shots that pay the full boat. That's the problem. So that's why I feel like if it's a manufacturer that's bringing in dozens of jobs paying $30 an hour, it's different. Everybody understands that.
That might also be an issue with the state of Illinois, not necessarily a Madison County issue.
And I'm partly playing devil's advocate because I just think we need to develop some sort of a consensus of when we're approving or not. Does everybody kind of get what I'm
yeah.
saying a little bit?
There's more money in brownfields.
And I do agree with the mayor that we don't want to we want to create a level playing field so that we don't have Bethalto that doesn't have these opportunities, you know, that so. But I do think that overall we need a robust policy, and we need to think through these sorts of things, and we don't want to be a rubber stamp. So.
Well, and I do think, you know, I mean, I'm all for it. There is so much property. The airport controls so much property in Bethalto that is the commercially developable property. It's probably unique to Bethalto in that they have, you know, another public body that controls so much of it. And so we're at a disadvantage because I also believe that the airport also doesn't really sell the land, right? They want to have a 99-year lease. And so there are other, so having other incentives, yeah, much of that land is owned by the federal government, and they actually can't sell the land, so they can enter into a 99-year lease. So they have unique challenges, and I think that's one reason why some of the development probably hasn't occurred there, is because they have to do some additional hoop jumping. And some people just want to own the land, which I would understand. If I was going to build a hotel, I think I'd want to own the land underneath it rather than lease. And so I appreciate, because I've learned a lot. You know, I was on this committee before, and I was trying to remember the differences between TIFs and enterprise zones, and I appreciate your insight, because I know it's usually different. And but on the other hand, I think sometimes, right, we have to be, I just want to be, like all of us, be smart about, you know, if I have a car wash that says I won't come if you don't give me an enterprise zone, I might say I'm not necessarily interested. Now, if you have a Marriott Hotel or Holiday Inn Express that has the same thing, then that's a different story. And that's all that I was trying to get to the bottom of. Do you know, Mayor, so when someone improves the property, let's just say that they, on property owned by the airport, how does that work then with property taxes? Because the airport owns the land.
Well, the only property out there that is exempt is the control tower and the administrative offices.
Okay.
So everything else is taxable, just like your property and mine.
Gotcha, okay.
You know, anytime that they build something out there, that's a huge boon for us.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Question. Has there been any complaints yet from any other businesses or developers around?
About
the expansion of the Bethalto area?
About the Bethalto one?
Yeah.
No, nobody's reached out to me. But I don't know
Has there been any issues where existing businesses have called and complained about the expansion?
No. As you heard, I mean, we went through the whole hearing process.
I didn't know if any businesses or any developers called. Sometimes developers can get kind of like, this is my pond, and I don't want new businesses and new developers from outside the area coming in and developing in my area. So
yeah, we didn't get anything before, during, or after the hearings. So it's been very quiet.
Good question.
Yeah. One business actually did call us and said, as Bethalto does better, we will do better. And that's the same group that we met with, so it's a very positive comment.
Any other questions or informational questions? Everybody's fully informed? Okay, so then we would look for this, I suppose, to be on the August agenda. And in 1 month, you'll be ready to vote. If you have any other questions, I'm sure you can reach out to or Winslow or James, Trudy, everybody would be happy. Tom and Chrissy, you know, they'd be happy to tour it probably or see it. And of course, I believe you said we could maybe talk to that other developer if you want.
If that's the direction you want to take, just get a hold of me, give me a couple of dates, and I'll put it together.
And for full disclosure and public meeting, we do have another management zone committee meeting tomorrow for the discovery zone at 9 a.m. at the City of Council for that management committee. If you would like, you're more than welcome to attend that. Because cool. It will be coming in August too.
And that's the discovery zone, enterprise zone.
The Madison Discovery Enterprise.
It might be in your district or
no. I did not know.
It could pass through ours, I'm
sure. Yeah.
Yep.
What area?
I don't know.
What area is the discovery zone?
It's Collinsville, Maryville,
Carbon,
Troy.
St. Jacob.
That's
Island.
Been talked about a long time, hasn't it?
Yes. That one is the newest one. It was finally approved in 2016. I think we met once with the management committee just to give them a rundown of how the enterprise zone works. Our second meeting was an actual formal request, and then the third meeting will be the actual. Tomorrow will be a vote.
Is it usually the mayor or the city manager who's in the management committee?
Typically, we've seen mayors come to a lot, but at the Discovery Zone one in particular, it was more city administrators, mm-hmm. knowing that the city administrator still has to go back, take it to the mayor, and then right. the mayor has to take it to council.
Right. Right.
Awesome discussion. I really appreciate it. Learned a lot. We got a lot of good questions answered. There's nothing else with that then. We guess we'll move on to the administrative report. Tony, thank you for waiting for the last hour.
I feel bad. Trudy hands things out every month, so I thought I'd try to match her this month.
Step up your game.
I've got a couple extra if anybody wants. So, just a couple things here. We're at the end of our...
If you need a tour, I'm telling I'll be there.
Yeah. And our program here, the one thing on the top is our new flyer. We talked about us taking over Jersey and Calhoun as of July 1. So this is with our new office in Jersey and Calhoun that we've taken over on the flyer. That's just for information. Second one is our statistics for the year. There's two things on here I'll point out on the top. If you see the numbers to the left in the left column, those were what we reported to the state we were going to achieve. And if you look at the ones on the right, our actuals, because we had that extra money from 2 years ago that flowed over, we served many more in the adult population than we had anticipated. Also in the youth and the dislocated workers, which we have the most difficulty getting, we're right on track. Universal service customers are those people who come into our resource room, who use all those other services. They don't have to be enrolled in any of our programs. For the just over 3,000 individuals come in, unique individuals come in to the resource room, and those 3,000 individuals had over almost 18,000 points of service. So they'll come in and work on a resume, come back, do job search, come to some of our seminars, come meet with employers. So we're pretty busy last year. So the bottom half is our performance measures that we negotiate with the state, with the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. You will see that we've exceeded in all those areas except for one, which is the dislocated worker credential claim. Steel reopening. We had a number of individuals who were dislocated steel workers who were in our trade program going through getting new credentials, and when the steel mill opened back up, they just dropped out of the programs and never achieved that. So that's why that number is 41%. So historically, the state had a rule, fail one measure, fail them all, but they've changed that so that one failure doesn't affect us in any way. So we will continue on. We shouldn't see that next year just because we won't have that big exodus from the steel workers. The next two are comparisons. So every month when we get our unemployment numbers, we get that first pie chart from the Department of Employment Security. It is for the St. Louis MSA, the Illinois part, which is 8 counties. They are Bond, Calhoun, Clinton, Jersey, Macoupin, Madison, Monroe, and St. Clair. The comparison is, I asked the person who runs that just to give me those numbers for Madison County. So that's the second chart is just Madison County to do a comparison between the St. Louis area and what we have. So I will point out that there's two areas that we are lower than the St. Louis, Illinois part of the St. Louis metropolitan area. Probably people like to know government we're lower, which is a good thing probably. The region is 18.4, Madison County is 16%. Education and health services, the region is 15.5 and Madison County is 13. I think that's directly tied to the bigger hospitals are in O'Fallon and Belleville as opposed to the smaller ones we have in Madison County. Two areas we're above. Again, this ties back to U.S. Steel. Manufacturing for the whole region is 8%. In Madison County, it's 10%. And then we've been talking about Gateway Commerce Center. Transportation, warehousing, and utilities for the whole region is 7.6. For Madison County, it's 11%. So we're a little higher in that area. And so just some numbers for people to look at. So if anybody has any questions.
Any questions at all? No? Is that it, Tony?
Yeah.
Sounds like so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know there's a IT meeting. People need to get to this house.
And just me. Muni development update. Trudy.
Well, I come in on writing so
I'm
kind of
like, yeah, he's just reading.
Not a lot new on there. Things we're continuing to work on. Tony, I met Renmer and I did work meet to talk about working together on the economic development efforts. James and Sam and I just finished another one of our economic development classes and we're starting another one next week, I think. And the Southwest Illinois Trade Investment Council is working on bringing in trade commissioners from Peru in September, so we'll hopefully be assisting with those efforts. And HUD will be here next week to monitor the CDBG programs. You can read the rest.
Are you privy to the reason why contract negotiations are still going on with a contract that ended in April 30th?
Well, last I heard, so there's some things that the labor attorney wants to put in there, things that she has said on the contract folder that should have been updated somewhere along the way and hasn't been. But it sounds like it's been pretty amicable. We're just dragging along. They just keep sort of doing a
lot. Well, normally contracts are held up by benefits and money. Language is usually not something that holds contracts up for what, May and June, for 2 months.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. I think from what I understand, that the labor attorney said you have a pretty good deal here. Hang on to it, but we just need to.
And as we know, longtime committee members know that the state said this is the best way to do it. So.
Yes. Hopeful that it'll be
fun
in
June. Yeah, let's hope. Great. And then so Collinsville requested the that's the discovery, right?
Yeah, that's the discovery zone.
Cool. I guess good luck on the HUD being here. I guess that's easy here.
Yeah. They should be in the hot seat the next week.
He can handle it.
No, fantastic. Any other questions or comments?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Clint.
Second
by Judy. Yep.
Is everything signed?
It's just promotion.
I think so.
That's important.
Okay.
Yeah, everything's signed.
All right, good deal.
Motion to second. All in favor?
All right.
All in favor. Thank you.
Are you who's second?
I'll see you a little later.
Okay, follow.
Judy.
See you.
Oh, I know.
You know where you go. Yeah.